We are so pleased to have Reverend Jones with us this morning. Reverend Jones has been a long-time missionary that we have supported for many, many years. And he decided to just swing by today, I guess, and say hello. So please come and join us this morning and share what God has put on your heart for us today.
The scripture he'll be speaking on today is Luke, from the book of Luke. Luke 7:36 through 50, you can find that in your pew Bible on page 731, or you can listen as I read the scripture to you. Luke 7:36 through 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you."
"Tell me, teacher," he said.
"Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven."
"You have judged correctly," Jesus said.
Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Thank you very much.
You know, as I was talking in Sunday school about how I speak with Muslims, I share them stories, and this is one of the stories I read to them. And we talk about the stories of Jesus interacting with people, and I love this passage very, very much. I want to ask you, what motivates you and moves your heart to follow Jesus? In other words, why are you a Christian? If someone were to ask you why you keep following Jesus day by day, what would you say to them? What is your hope in this life and in death? Because people are asking those questions. What would you say? I love this story because in this story we find answers to these questions. I am so thankful to God that He had this story in the Scriptures. But I want you to imagine with me this morning that you're there. What would you be seeing? What would you be hearing? I wish we could have been there. Because you see two people relating to Jesus. And I'm sure they're there watching the Pharisee, watching the woman, watching Jesus. I wish you could have been there. But the Lord, in His grace and mercy, allowed this story to be in the Bible. And I want to look at this story with you. I want you to listen to the responses of these two people to Jesus. Because you're beginning to see their hearts. You know, it's a very graphic story from beginning to end, and it holds your attention. You want to see what's going to happen. But let's look at it. You know, when I'm in Africa, mainly, I tell a lot of stories when I preach or when I teach. So I'm more used to doing that even here in the States. But I just want to look at the story with you. See, the Simon had invited Jesus over for dinner, and that's good. He'd probably heard that Jesus was around. He heard him speaking. He said, this guy's done great things. I think I'm going to have this man of God, this teacher, into my home. But remember that Simon was a Pharisee. The Pharisees, as you look in the gospel accounts, they didn't like Jesus very much. In fact, some of them were very, very hostile to Jesus. Listen to what the Pharisees are saying about Jesus. I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 6 of Luke. It says, on another Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus, he looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so and his hand was completely restored. But then listen to the response. But they, the Pharisees, that is, they were furious. Furious. I mean, you're a medical doctor. You're furious. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. You know, we even read in Mark's gospel that they wanted to kill Jesus because what he was doing, what he was saying. They didn't like him very much. See, the Pharisees were the ultra-conservative religious leaders of the time. And they wanted to have nothing to do with someone who did not follow their interpretation of the law. Their interpretation of the scriptures. They did not like Jesus because he wasn't like them. I'm awfully glad, aren't you? He was not following their interpretations of the law, of the scriptures. When Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath, they thought, oh, don't do that. You can't do that on the Sabbath. You can't heal this person on the Sabbath. But my friends, where in the Bible does it say you cannot heal somebody on the Sabbath? You're not going to find it. It was their interpretation of the law. You see, the Pharisees are adding all these man-made laws. It sounds so much like Islam. I work with Muslims all the time. This sounds, the Pharisees and Muslims will get along. One law, another law, another law, another law. So the Pharisees were not supporters of Jesus at all. But in this story, Simon invites Jesus for tea. You know, being from Britain, I guess they invite him over for tea. And that's good. I'm very happy to read that he did that. It's very unusual for that to happen. I'm sure there are other Pharisees thinking, what in the world is this Jesus doing? And what in the world is this Pharisee having? You know, they should be apart, but the Pharisees, this Pharisee and Jesus were together for tea. But something happens in the tea time that was totally unexpected by Simon. He's probably thinking, maybe I shouldn't have invited this guy. I don't know. But he invited him over, and Jesus tells him a message. And you see something happening. And I love this story. This woman walked into the home because at that time, people left their gates open if you were well-to-do. Strangers could come in. They could listen in on conversations. Because especially if you have somebody important. Now, Jesus was an important guy, so let's let people come in and they're going to listen. Let them listen in. So that was not unusual at all to have someone come over like that. Well, this woman, if you notice the text, it says this woman is described as a sinful woman. She lived a sinful life in the town. Now, the English Standard Version says this. She was a woman of the city who was a sinner. Interesting. And that's what the Greek seems to be saying. What does it mean that she was a woman of the city and that she was a sinner? It probably means that she was a prostitute. Because it adds the word again, who was a sinner. She's a big sinner. She's a great sinner. She comes into the house. This great sinner comes into this house. She comes in. She stands behind Jesus and she anoints his feet with this very expensive perfume. Notice that they are eating, but she is anointing Jesus' feet. His feet were not under the table. They were spread out behind him. They were probably reclining at table and eating. They're probably leaning on cushions, and that's how they ate. And I even do that with Iranians. They always, many times, will sit on the floor to eat. But notice this woman's not saying anything. She's doing something. She is not even able to say anything because she's weeping. In fact, it says in verse 38, she is weeping so much that she wets Jesus' feet with her tears. She takes her hair down and begins to wipe his feet. And now, again, you understand, you don't do this. Take your hand out and wipe his feet. You don't do that. But the woman did it. Why is she doing this in public? In public. But my friends, she doesn't care. She doesn't care at all. Because she came to see Jesus. And Jesus accepts her. Finally, someone who really loves her. But in verse 37, it says that she had learned that Jesus was in Simon's house. So she brings this perfume. She obviously had heard reports about Jesus as well, just as the Pharisee Simon had heard. But notice again that she's weeping. She is not speaking, but by her actions, she is showing that she loves Jesus and giving total devotion to him. Well, why is she doing this? Well, she, like Simon, both of them wanted to be with Jesus. You have Simon wanting to be with Jesus and the sinful woman wanting to be with Jesus. She heard about him. She knows that maybe she heard that he cares. So she comes. Because Jesus, I mean, I wish you could come to ministry with me. I talk to people from different religions all the time. There's nobody like Jesus. And I think that's what this woman sees. There's something different about this Jesus. She comes to the house and she anoints his feet. See, Jesus doesn't act like the Pharisees. He doesn't act like other people. He doesn't teach like the Pharisees. He doesn't act like the Pharisees. There's something amazing about this guy. I want to read you a few words of Jesus in Luke, a few passages in Luke. It says, Jesus said this, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And in Luke 19:10, he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that what was lost." In Matthew 11:28, "Come to me." You know something? You come to a person. Muslims will give you a book, but God gives you himself. And so Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." No, Jesus says, "I will give you rest. I'll give you hope. I will give you peace." Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I mean, I can't give rest for somebody's soul. A prophet can't give somebody rest for their soul. But God alone can give you rest for your soul. Jesus came to those who knew they were sick spiritually. He came to save sinners, my friends. He came to save those who are lost. And that's why we do missions. That's our task. All those who feel the burden of sin and who are living under the weight of guilt, a weight of fear, weight of shame, can come to Jesus to receive love and forgiveness. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's shown it. I just read it. He did it. Jesus came to save sinners like you, like me, like this woman. This woman knew she had disobeyed the Lord. She knew she was guilty. She knew she had no hope. She knew she had problems. She knew it. She felt deep guilt and deep shame because of her sinful life. But the woman also knew that only Jesus is the one who can forgive her sin and take away that guilt, take away that shame, take away that fear. So she came. That is why she came into Simon's house weeping with a jar of perfume to anoint Jesus' feet. She knew she had a problem, and Jesus was the solution. The solution is a person, not the law, not a book. It's a person. And just briefly, you know, when I talk to Muslims, I often say to them, Christianity is not something you do, it's something you believe. They say, what? I get them to start thinking, what does that mean? See, Christianity is about Jesus. It's about a person. Knowing a person. You know, in this story, she loved him because only Jesus is where she can find that kind of love she's been searching. Does someone really care about me? Is there any hope for me? Look at my life. I mean, sure you felt that way. Does someone really care for me? The Bible says, and Jesus has shown it in story after story, I will care for you. Come to me, all you're weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And that's our message, that's my message, that's your message. But see, now, look at Simon for a minute. Simon the Pharisee, he is a religious person. But being religious doesn't save you. You know that. He's a great religious teacher. He's even a teacher of the law. But he's thinking just the opposite of what the woman's thinking. See, he's full of pride, living a self-righteous life, and he is blind to his own sin. Look at verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. That she is a sinner. These words show you Simon's heart. See, Jesus has not spoken to the woman as yet. He is just receiving her devotion and love to him by anointing his feet. But notice, Simon does not say this out loud. He's thinking this. He's talking to himself, and he condemns Jesus and condemns the woman at the same time. Jesus cannot be a prophet of God. He's allowing this sinful woman of the city to touch his feet, anoint his feet, this filthy, sinful prostitute. Pharisees do not eat and drink with women like this. God forbid. See, Simon had forgotten something very important about Jesus. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came so that sinners who know that they are dying, know they have no hope, can come to Him for forgiveness and find peace. Well, you know, Jesus was aware of what Simon was thinking. He said to Simon in verse 40, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Simon says to Jesus, the teacher, "I'm listening." You know, I'm thinking, you know, well, you better watch out what you say, Simon. You say you're listening. Are you really listening? You're about to hear something. Are you still willing to listen? You know, because Jesus gives him some harsh words. Jesus tells us a parable or a story to Simon. See, two people owed money to a moneylender. One owed 500 pieces of silver coins, which was equal to about what one would earn a year and a half or so. The other man owed 50 coins, which was the amount of money that one could probably earn in around 50 days. Both of these men owed the money, but they could not pay the money back at all. They just couldn't do it. It wasn't possible. The moneylender, being a kind and passionate man, he forgave them. He says, he forgave their debt. He said, "You don't need to pay it back." He said to the man who owes 500 pieces, to the man who owes 50 pieces, you know, you're free of your debt. You don't have to pay it back. And so Jesus asked Simon a question. He says, "Now, which of these two men will love the money lender more because his debt has been forgiven? Who will love more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven will be the one who loves more." Now, Jesus responded that, "You've answered correctly." That's good. You've answered correctly. The one with the bigger debt will love more because of the greatness of his debt that he could not pay back. He couldn't do it. And he would love more. You know, it was impossible for this man, for this guy with this great debt, to pay it back. But now he's filled with gratitude. He's filled with love for this man who's now, you know, forgiven his debt. You know, Simon may be thinking now, "But okay, I get this, I understand, but what does that have to do with me?" Jesus then looks at the woman, and he looks at the woman now. Jesus looks at the woman. Then he says to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Jesus says, "I came into your home and you did not wash my feet. You did not greet me with a kiss. You did not put oil on my head." See, during the time of Jesus, and I spent many years in West Africa, the roads are very, very dusty. You always take your shoes off. And back at that time, people would take off their sandals and someone or a slave or a servant would wash their feet. The owner, he may greet them with a kiss. You know, in our Persian fellowship, I know about maybe 20 or more so Persians, and sometimes you forget which side to kiss on first. And I think the Arabs do it twice, but the Persians do it three times. I got to keep all these cultural things straight. But we kick each other on the cheek. It's probably like what's talked about in here, in the text. And Simon should have put oil on his head, which soothes the skin and shows honor to a guest. But Simon did none of that. None of that. Jesus has said, she looked at, now remember, I like it because Jesus is always looking at people. Isn't that amazing? He's always sitting there looking. I mean, he's observing. He looks at you. He cares about you. He looks at you. And Jesus is looking at this woman. He says, "Notice this woman. She anointed my feet, she kissed my feet, and she washed my feet with her tears." Now notice what Jesus says about this woman in verses 47 through 50. In verse 47, Jesus is speaking to Simon the Pharisee. He says to him, he says this, "Therefore I tell you, her sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven loves, but he who has been forgiven little loves little." The Lord Jesus is saying that Simon has such a small understanding of his sin. Therefore, his love for Jesus is very small as well. See, Simon does not see that he needs forgiveness just like this woman needs forgiveness. There's no difference. Both are guilty before the Holy God. They both need the same kind of forgiveness. But Simon says, he just does not understand what Jesus came to do. He doesn't even understand his own sin. Sadly, forgiveness of sin and looking at his own heart is very far from Simon. It's a sad story. The woman says nothing and Simon just talks and talks. The woman is weeping. Simon is not. My friend, if we do not see who we really are as big sinners, we will not come to Jesus for forgiveness, for hope, for peace with God. The woman admitted she had a big problem. She admitted there's something wrong and she needed help. Her sin was a burden of guilt, a burden of shame in the community. She knew she needed Jesus. She knew it. She came to him because of her miserable life, her sad life, and she needed help. And Jesus can take that away and give her a perfect relationship with God forever. Remember, the Christian faith is all about a person. It's all about Jesus. It's very sad story because it's Simon does not see that, but it's the prostitute who leaves the house with hope and with peace with God. I wish Simon had understood, but he did not. Listen to the words of Jesus in verses 48 and 50. It says this to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." He said that to her. "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And just what do you think that woman was thinking when Jesus said that? Jesus cares. Somebody cares for me. I'm forgiven. And then these are the most wonderful words in Scripture. I love to read those words, what Jesus said to her. If you come to Jesus and trust Him and place your faith in Him, you will be forgiven. You will have peace with God for all eternity. That is a fact of Scripture. If you come to Jesus, you will be saved. And we preach Christ in this world. And that's what I do. And that's what you do. There is forgiveness found in Christ alone. Well, let's talk about ourselves for a few minutes before we end. Well, what about you? Is everything all right between you and God? Do you see your sin? Do you know, are you coming into Christ knowing that you need Him? Do you know that your sins are forgiven only through Christ? Not something you do, it's what Christ has done alone. I urge you to come to Christ and trust Jesus as this sinful woman did, and you will hear the words, "You are forgiven, go in peace." It's not something you do, it's something you believe and trust. It's someone you trust, and that's Jesus. See, we can't take away our guilt, we can't take away our shame. You know, all of us have guilt and shame deep in our hearts, we don't want people to know. But Jesus can bring healing to your heart if you come to Him. I wish I could tell you so many stories of how I've seen God work in people's lives. I've seen the power of God like this woman in people's lives in ministry. I've seen it in action. It really works. Jesus really does save people and change people. It's exciting. And I just praise God for what He's done. I urge you to come to Jesus because only through what Christ has done on the cross can you be made right with God. Through His death and through His resurrection, taking your sin upon Himself, dying in your place, taking away your debt of sin, if you trust Him alone, you will be saved. Well, those of you who are followers of Jesus, do you love Jesus with all your heart? Do you understand what he's done for you? In your mind, but also in your heart. Do you love as this woman loved Jesus? Do you see the depth of your sin and what he's done for you? That's what changes people. Wow, what God did himself on the cross for me? For me? Yes, for you. Come to him. And you'll experience peace with God now and forever. But I want to conclude by looking at a couple of things. And when I speak to you, I want to be true for me. See, we must have a deep understanding of the sinfulness of our sin. This woman was weeping because of her sin. She had no hope. She was full of guilt and shame. And so I ask you, do you weep because of your sins? Do I weep because of my sins? For the Holy God. God gave his all for me. Do I love him? Do you love him? My friends, you have much to be thankful for today. You are sitting here because God, by grace and mercy alone, changed your heart. You are no different than the Muslims, except that Jesus changed your heart. And that's the message they need to hear. And God will change their hearts. And God is changing their hearts. The same message. The same story. Remember what Christ has done for you. From death to life, from misery to peace, from sadness and rejection to hope in Christ. And don't forget what Christ has done. You know, it says, you know, the feet of this woman anointed were the very feet that were pierced on the cross for you. He suffered the rejection of his Father on the cross. Our sin was placed upon him, and our place is our substitute, so that we can have a relationship with God forever and ever and ever and ever as his children. That's wonderful good news. You know what I do as a missionary? I did just what I'm telling you now. I say the same thing to people. And I keep saying it, and I keep saying it, and I keep saying it. And I'm so glad of the Holy Spirit. He does the convincing and he does the changing. I've seen it. I've seen it. My friends, your name is written upon the heart of God, and you are his dear child forever. In fact, you know, God can't love you more than he loves you right now. He can't. He loves you infinitely right now in Christ. Remember, he who has been forgiven much will love much. Because you've seen your sin in the cost of what Jesus went through to bring you to himself. That's what changes people's lives. Remembering and meditating and thanking much of Jesus. So do you love Jesus? Are you ready to love him even more? I urge you to remember this story. Remember this woman who came weeping, and then when she left, she had peace with God. And that's what God has given us now and forever. And that's the message what we preach. And I praise God for it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this story. I thank you so much that the stories in the Bible, you didn't have to have them write this down, but you did. And it's just an amazing story. This prostitute, this lady, was loved by you. You changed her heart. Gave her hope, gave her peace, gave her joy, gave her true forgiveness. But Lord, it applies to all of us. If we are trusting you and see our sin, Lord, keep working in us. Bring us to repentance and faith every day. Lord, forgive me for this. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to love you more. We praise you and thank you for what you've done for us in your Son, Jesus. Amen.